Good morning, everyone. And before we come to God's word this morning, let me just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather here this morning. Father, to worship you, being praise and honor to you. Father, we thank you that you are here with us, that you are present, that you dwell within our hearts. Father, let all praise and glory be to you now. Father, lead us and enable us by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray now in Jesus' name, amen. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at the vision of our church. And so our vision statement is to be a growing and compelling community of disciples of Christ who are known in the Gympie region as people who pursue the well-being of our community because of love for Jesus. Now, that's a bit of a mouthful. But the key point that we want to look at is that we are to be compelling. And if we are compelling as a believer, then it must imply we're also growing believers. And it also implies, on top of that, that we will be known because our faith will naturally stand out for all to see. Now, Google tells us that the definition of compelling means evoking interest, attention, or admiration in a powerful, irresistible way. Now, for example, I can say that water is compelling. Now, when our children were small, we got in the habit of taking a towel and a spare clothes with us whenever we went near water. Because one of our children in particular, I won't name any names, it was the youngest one, always managed to get themselves completely wet, shoes and all. It didn't even have to be that much water. Water is compelling. So I want you to imagine for a moment now then that it's a really hot day and you've been outside working in the heat. I don't think we need to think too far back for that. You're hot, you're bothered, your clothes are drenched with sweat. Have you experienced that recently? I know I have. Now imagine being hot and sweaty like that and you come to a pristine body of water. It might be a creek with crystal clear water and beautiful green rainforest surroundings, or it might be a beautiful deserted beach. It's lined by palm trees, golden sand, and just those perfect rolling waves coming in. Now, when you're hot and sweaty like that, and you see those beautiful bodies of water, it's compelling, isn't it? It's compelling because you know that that water can make you feel cooler. It's enticing. And the sight of that water then compels you. Russell, just come and dip your toes in me. I'll make you feel so cool. And that next thing you know, you're in clothes and all because you're so wet anyway and you feel lovely and refreshed. Water is compelling. But why are we compelling? Or what makes us as believers compelling? Well, the simple answer to that is we are compelling because God is compelling, because Jesus is compelling. And in Hebrews 1:3 tells us that the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he provided the purification of sin, he sat down at the right hand of God on high. Now the first part of that verse tells us who and what Jesus is. And the second part of that verse tells us what Jesus does because of who he is. First, Jesus is the radiance, the outshining, or the reflection of God's glory. Now, Jesus told Philip, in response to Philip asking him, show us the Father. And Jesus said, don't you know me, Philip, after all this time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Now, the writer to the Hebrews then says that Jesus is the exact representation of God. Now, exact means the same. Exact means there can be no difference. No, any difference is impossible. Now, identical twins share the same DNA, and they might appear to be exactly the same, but they are not the exact representation of each other. There are differences both physically and in their natures. But Jesus is the same. He's the exact representation both by nature and in his being. He is the radiance or the reflection of God's glory. Jesus is the exact representation of God's being because Jesus is also God. He's the second person of the Trinity. Moses says in the book of Deuteronomy, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And Jesus says to us in John 6, "All those the Father gives me will come to me." And why will they come to Jesus? Because Jesus is compelling, and they are compelled to come to him. Remember the definition of compelling. It means evoking interest, attention, admiration, in a powerful and irresistible way. And Jesus goes on to say in the same chapter, "No one comes to me except the Father who sent me draws them." Jesus is compelling, and God compels men to come to him. But how is God compelling to us now if he's invisible? And how is Jesus compelling since he's now ascended and is at the Father's right hand side? I'm sure you all know the story of Rahab. Do you know the story of Rahab? Okay, Rahab lived in the city of Jericho. And Jericho was the first city that the Israelites came to when they entered the promised land. And they were to conquer it. So Joshua sent two spies to spy out the city. When they went to the city of Jericho, they came to Rahab. Now the king of Jericho heard that the men were there. And so what did he do? He sent soldiers to capture them. But Rahab hid them, and she pointed the king's soldiers in the opposite direction. "They've already left. Go this way and you'll find them." Now later that night, after the soldiers had left, Rahab said to them, now listen carefully, "I know that the Lord has given you this land. A great fear has fallen upon us because we have heard how the Lord dried up the Red Sea so that you could cross it. And we have heard what you did to the two kings of the Amorites. When we heard it, our hearts melted in fear. For the Lord your God is God in heaven, and he is God on the earth below." Rahab then asked the spies to save her and her family when they come back. So how is God compelling if he's invisible? He is compelling by his actions. Rahab knew what God had done. The whole city of Jericho knew what God had done. But Rahab believed and she trusted and she looked to God. Romans 1:20 tells us, "Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen and understood through all that he has made." God's creation, the world itself, compels us to see God. God is compelling in who he is and what he does. And we can see the beauty of God in the natural world. It compels us to see God. Now, Isaiah 53 tells us of Jesus. And Isaiah writes, "Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him." Let me ask you, how many times have you seen a picture of Jesus? He's got beautiful eyes And he's an extremely handsome man. That's what Isaiah is telling us here. He's telling us there is nothing in Jesus' appearance to attract us or to compel people to him. I want you to think for a moment of the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, the chief priests wanted Judas to lead them and to show them who Jesus was. Jesus was nothing in appearance to compel men to himself. Look back in the Gospels, where at times the crowd looked to turn on Jesus, and we read that Jesus slipped away into the crowd and they couldn't find him. He was unnoticed. Remember the words of Isaiah. There was nothing in Jesus' appearance to draw men to himself. Now, if that is the case, how is Jesus compelling? At the birth of Jesus, the angels sang God's praise. Now, why? Because God was doing something new. God was sending his Son, who was the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his being, into the world. And the angels were compelled. They couldn't help but sing the praise of God. They couldn't help to sing at the irresistible greatness of God. God the Father was doing something great. What about Jesus? And Jesus, God would have us see differently. God would have us see as he sees. And in 1 Samuel we read, men look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And the context of that passage comes from Samuel having been sent to Jesse of Bethlehem to anoint one of his sons to be the new king after King Saul. And so Jesse brought all his sons before Samuel. And they were tall and they were handsome. Samuel says, God hasn't chosen any of these. Do you have any other sons? And he says, I have one more son, but he's the youngest. He's taking care of the sheep. Jesse hadn't even bothered to bring David there. But God chose David because he was a man after God's own heart. That's what makes Jesus compelling. It is his heart and his actions that come from his heart because he has loved us from eternity. The crowds that followed Jesus did so because of what he did. He healed the sick, he cast out demons, he raised the dead, he fed the 5,000 and the 4,000 people. The crowds followed him. So what he did to meet their needs. What happened when Jesus told them deep truths in John 6, when he told them that he was the bread of life and they must eat his flesh and drink his blood? What happened? They turned away. And it was only a small band of disciples that kept following him. And they were still weak in their faith. And it was only after the death and resurrection of Jesus that they truly believed. Was it how Jesus looked that made them believe? No. It was the truth of who Jesus said he was by what he did. They had seen the thrust of the spear that proved his death. And they had seen him alive again. They had spoken with him. They had eaten with him. And they saw Jesus ascend to heaven. The crowds were compelled by their senses, but the disciples were compelled by their hearts. And that is what God sees. He sees the heart. Now remember the meaning of the word compelling is to evoke interest, attention, or admiration in an irresistible, powerful way. Is Jesus compelling? Yes. Yes, he is. In Revelation 5, an angelic host surrounds the throne of God and they cry out, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And why are they crying that out? Because of who Jesus is and what he has done. Christ is compelling in all that he is and all that he does. We cannot see God, but we know that he is there through what he has done. And we can see the evidence of it in our own lives. When God drew us to Jesus, we saw all that he had done for us, and we realized who he truly was, that he was God, that he was God in the flesh. And we put all of our faith and our trust in him. God is compelling by nature and in his being, and he compels us by what he has done. And first this morning, we are compelling by nature and being because Christ is in us and we are in Christ. Then secondly, we are compelling because we have been called by God. Now, if you want to look with me in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Then he goes on to say, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven." In these verses, Jesus tells us who we are to be in this world. We are to be salt, and we are to be light. I want to say that both of those things are compelling. Now, you've probably never heard anyone say, "Oh, look at this lovely salt." There is nothing in the appearance of salt to draw us to it. It is what salt does that makes it compelling. And what does salt do? It gives food flavor. And that saltiness can then make us thirst. And that's what God wants us to be in this world. He wants us to be salt. He wants us to bring the flavor of Christ to the world so that people will thirst after him. Our lives should have such savor that when people see us, when they see how we live and the joy that we have in the community and the love that we share with each other, when they hear us saying how much God has done for us and what Jesus has done in our lives, it should cause them to thirst. But how they then respond is the work of God. Our job is to be salty and to make people thirst. It is Jesus who gives the water of life. Only Jesus can quench the thirst of the truly thirsty. And then Jesus then gives a warning to those who he spoke these words to, telling them that if they lose their saltiness, they are no longer good for anything, but only they are worthless and only good to be thrown out onto the path so they can be trodden on. We are to be compelling like salt in this world. That is how we're to be, just like Jesus told us to be. No matter how old or how young we are, no matter how busy our jobs make us, no matter how many hobbies we fill our time with, no matter what obstacles and difficulties that might be in our life, Jesus tells us, "You are the salt of the earth." We are to live and be salt in the place where God has put us. Being salt makes us compelling. And we might not look at anything special on the outside, but we are compelling because God is working in and through us. In John 8, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now, I'm sure most of you have an outdoor area at home, a veranda, it might be a deck. What happens at night when you turn the light on and you leave it on for a long time? You get lots and lots of insects. Insects are attracted to the light. Light is compelling for insects. Now, with that in mind, have you ever had a bug fly into your ear. Now, I have more than once, and it's terrible. They fly in, and you hear them buzzing, and they're fluttering around, and you're just rubbing your ear and banging your head. But then after you come to grips with it, you think, I know what I have to do. And you get a torch, and you turn it on, and you put the light to your ear, and then you hear the bug slowly going towards the light, and then it comes out. Light is compelling for insects. Now, in John 8, Jesus used the analogy that he is the light of the world. He is the promised light that was to come into the world. And in John 1, chapter 1, Jesus tells us the life of Jesus was the light of all mankind. Jesus' life is the light that shines that men may no longer walk in darkness. Jesus is the light because he gives hope of a better way, hope of a better joy, hope of a new and better life, of a better way. And those who recognize the lack of light in their lives are drawn to Jesus like moths to a flame. That's how brightly the light of Jesus shines. Men are compelled to come to him. Then in Matthew 5:14, Jesus says to us, you are the light of the world. Now, as the power that makes the light shine, that makes it compelling. If you put a 15-watt light bulb in at home and you turn on the switch, you get about 1,500 lumens of light that you can see. It is light that can be seen. As believers, we have received the life of Christ. And Jesus says to us, you are the light of the world. We have the life of Jesus shining in and through us. Life and joy and hope that was in Jesus, that Jesus showed when he was in this world, is in us. It is in us. Light is compelling because it shines like a beacon to those who are in darkness, to those who want to enter into the light. A city on a hill is easily seen. A light that is on its stand in the room fills that room with light. That's how Jesus wants us to be. And Jesus says, in this same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Our life and actions are compelling like salt. They cause men to thirst. It causes them to thirst after God. But they're also like light that shines and is compelling to those who are in darkness so that they might step into the light. Just like Jesus, it is not what we look like that is compelling. It is how we live and how we act. It is how we love and show that we care for others. It is not programs that bring people to Christ. It is not programs that compels people to come to church. It is us. It is us when we are compelling just like Jesus, living a life of love for God and of love for others. It is when we dare to be salt and bring our faith in Jesus into our lives and into our conversations, wherever we might be. It is when we dare to shine the life of Christ so that others might see him and be drawn to him by who Jesus is and by what he has done for them. Why are we compelling? We are compelling only because God is compelling and Christ is in us and we are in him. And if we are compelling in any other way, it is not of God. For from God and through God and to God are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. We are compelling because God is compelling and he has called us to be compelling also. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. To be a compelling community of disciples of Christ implies that we are following Jesus and walking in his ways. It means we must be growing in spiritual maturity. We will not and we cannot be compelling if we are not following Jesus, and if we're not growing in our faith, if we're not growing in maturity. If we are truly disciples of Christ, then just like those angels that surround the throne of God, we will not be able to help ourselves but to sing the praise of God and to tell everyone we see what he has done. We are compelling because God is compelling, and he has called us to be compelling. Remember, Christ is in us, and we are in him. So let me finish with this. Let the light that is in you shine for all to see. Shine the light of Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your only Son, Jesus Christ, that he came into this world. Father, that he came to die upon the cross for our sins. Father, that through Jesus we have the hope of eternal life. For just as he rose, so one day we will too. Father, we thank you that Jesus is the light of the world. And Father, we thank you now that your Holy Spirit dwells within us. Father, the Spirit of Christ. Father, your Holy Spirit. Father, help us to live our lives right now in this place where you have put us, that we would be like salt and light in our community. Father, bless us with boldness to live and to speak our faith. Father, to be a deeply spiritual people, Father, but also to be completely natural and totally practical in all that we do. Father, that those we live amongst will see you in us, that they will see you in our actions, that they will see your love that you have for them. Father, we are so weak in our own natures. Father, strengthen us and enable us. Father, we need your grace each and every day. Father, help us to display the light of Christ. Father, to show your glory for all to see. Father, let all praise be to you now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.